Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. I want to discuss a topic with you today that I don't hear many other people talking about. And when I speak about it, I get a lot of resistance to accepting this message, but I do believe it's 100% scriptural. And I am doing this because I want people to understand what Yahweh has shown me in understanding why so many people suffer today and get themselves into a big problem. And this is specifically about men and women and how the enemy uses to divide us, how the enemy uses to divide us from each other, and how the enemy uses us to divide us from Yahweh himself. And it's very clear in scripture to me that this message is being deceived right before people's eyes, that Satan is doing something that is really destroying the whole community. And people need to wake up about this. And people tell me sometimes, oh, well, where does it say in specifically in scripture that? Or give me a verse. I'm going to give you a principle that is found all throughout scripture. You know, there's no verse in scripture that says microwaves or coffee are not good for our health. But we know it's not good for our health. The body says to honor your temple and not to put things in there that are not going to help it, honor it and bless it and keep it clean. And keep it to do the job that our Creator wanted us to do. So is there a scripture or a verse in the Bible that talks about microwave ovens or coffee or junk food and all this stuff? No, there's not. We know smoking's bad for our lungs. Is there a scripture that says thou shalt not smoke cigarettes? No, there's not. We must understand the principles of our Creator and stop trying to defend our sin because we don't see the exact verse word for word in scripture. This message I'm going to talk to you today is about something that many people suffer from, specifically women, but today, in today's times, even men suffer from this. It is how Satan's and the ways Satan tries to get to his people and destroy them, to do deceptive things and justify them as being okay when they're not okay. And all about the study that the people I study with and the books I read and everything else. It's about understanding the identity crisis people have today of who we are and who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be set apart. Set apart from the heathens of this world. From the world that does not believe or accept Yahweh or his ways. We are to be set apart from that and not do the things they are doing. We are supposed to do what Yahweh tells us to do in his scripture and not to do what he tells us not to do. To love what he loves and hates what he hates is the scriptural concept and what our Creator wants us to accept and do. So today's message is specifically about painting our bodies. Face paint, makeup, cosmetics, whatever word you want to use. And when I bring this topic up, more and more people are understanding this truth because they're experiencing it and seeing it, the vanity and everything that goes along with this terrible sin. And yes, I did call it a sin. And the people try to defend Satan's actions that they're doing on a regular basis will say, well, where does it say sin? Where does it say it's a sin to wear makeup in the Bible? And I'm going to show you and talk to you today about this. And then some people try to defend this, say, why do you stop? Why don't you talk about the gospel and spread the loving message about Yeshua and stop talking about how women should look and women should dress and if women should wear makeup or not? The scriptures tell us to be watchmen. It says in Ezekiel 33, once again, a message came to me from Yahweh, son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against the country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then, if those hear the alarm, refuse to take the action. It is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm but ignored it, so the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their debts. Now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins and I will hold you responsible for their debts. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, then they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. And we move down to verse 10 that says, Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. You are saying our sins are heavy upon us. We are wasting away. How can we survive? As surely as I live, says Yahweh, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they will live. Turn, turn from your wickedness, O people Israel. Why should you die? And in Ezekiel 3:17 says, Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn the people immediately. And Ezekiel 33:6 says, But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their debts. So we've seen that. We see what it says here in the scriptures. And prayerfully, you're going to get this and understand this. So the first question is, who are these appointed watchmen? And the answer is you, the answer is me, and everyone else who claims to be a believer, a brother and sister in Yahweh. If we've accepted Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, as our Messiah, we have now accepted the role of becoming a watchman or a watchwoman to warn other people when something is on the horizon that is dangerous to us. We must speak up. If Yahweh shows us and reveals us to something that has not been revealed to something else, we must sound the alarm. We must let people know. Now, what they do with that is up to them. But you must let everyone know what Yahweh has revealed to you. And it is clear through scripture that Yahweh has revealed to me and many others the dangerous practices that people are doing today, the customs that have been adopted from pagan cultures that Yahweh hates and hated and talks about in the scriptures, and we must be warned against them. And in this video, I present to you a warning. I present to you a warning and a plea to answer the call. So we start off with the story of Balaam and Balak in Numbers 22 to 24, in chapters 22 to 24. You had King Balak of Moab who offered money to Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And Balaam refused to do it several times over and over and over again. But scripture tells us later in Revelations 2:14 that he did compromise. And Balaam told Balak how to destroy the people of Israel. In Revelations 2:14, it says, But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. By committing sexual sin. And we think about that. What Balaam taught Balak. The real downfall of the people, of how to commit this sexual sin or lead the people to commit this sexual sin. And then we get to the topic today of the signaling call of sin or of mating and what it is and how Yahweh created man and woman and how Yahweh brought creation and he brings men and women together. Not in a lustful, passionate way, but in a holy way for conception of a child. But there needs to be an attraction there to begin with. And he creates this attraction between a man and a woman. And at the height of their coming together to make a child, They have a certain look or feel upon them. And that's what brings this attractiveness together and brings them together. And we live in a time today where people have gotten so far away from the true feelings of the heart and understanding what Yahweh wants and to live in the spirit. And people are so living in the flesh, and we're brought up how to live in the flesh, that we have a hard time understanding between the ways of Yahweh and the ways of the enemy, which is the ways of the flesh. We have a hard time understanding the purity of procreating and coming together and being attractive to somebody Yahweh wants us truly to be attractive to versus the lust of this world. And the result of the rampant sex that's taking place in this world, and people not even knowing each other, and one night stands, and pornography, and adultery, and all these different wicked acts of sin that are taking place. And then we go back to the example of Balaam and Balak, where they were taught how to trip up the people of Israel through sexual sin. When the women of Moab came and seduced the men of Israel. The women of Moab came and seduced the men of Israel. And we think about this thing. And we think about today how the world that Satan rules today, the fleshly desire of the world, is seducing Yahweh's people of Israel. And we come to this thing, you know, called makeup or cosmetics or painting our faces and so on. We have to understand this. We have to get this, and we have to understand what the industry does today and how it deceives people to think that this is an innocent thing and there's nothing wrong with this thing, but how evil it really is. And here's what it comes down to today. Yahweh has created us and designed us to be in a certain way and to take on a certain appearance. And simply this, makeup, which I call fake up, or cosmetics, whatever word you want to use today, face painting, is used to mimic sexual signaling to the opposite sex. Wow. Makeup is sexual signaling to the opposite sex. It's mimicking all the signs of sexual arousal and readiness. It's like wearing a sign saying, I am ready to have sex. I am ready to mate. I am available. And to see so many women of this world to walk around with this billboard and to make this or themselves available to anyone and anything that's going to see this sign amongst them is not of Yahweh. It's not of Yahweh. All the makeup and the things today that are connected to makeup have the connection to mimicking sexual signals. And it must be understood. Well-applied makeup creates an illusion of a woman who is fertile and waiting for sex. That's the bottom line. And if you hear me out in this teaching, I pray that you come to understand this truth and understand the companies that create these things and all this, they know what they're doing. They study in college and universities to try to get people to do certain things. And these are not things of a wonderful creator. Blush, lipstick, and lip gloss, and the foundation all creates this illusion or all this one big sign that says, take me, here I am, I'm ready, I want you. That's what sign. That's what you're promoting when you go out, ladies, and you wear makeup in any fashion. That's what you are promoting. Do you understand that blush creates the illusion with the flushed cheeks, which indicates sexual arousal? And the lipstick and the lip gloss that people wear are indicating the higher fertility and plump, rosy lips. Makes it look like a woman is fertile in that time of the month to conceive and to have a baby. And the deep desire of a man and a woman is to procreate. Even if anyone doesn't want children, that's what we've been built with. To keep creation alive. Women want children. Men want children. In this crazy world today where men and women are killing children, and men or women are just, you know, pleasuring themselves and have no thought or even wanting to procreate. This is all pleasing the flesh, but it's not Yahweh's desire for man. Deep down inside, it's about understanding procreation, and understanding the Satan mimics Yahweh's ways for evil, not for good. And the blush and the lipstick and the lip gloss and the foundation to create this unblemished skin of youthfulness and good health is all part of attracting people and tripping up the people, the men of Israel, just like the people of Moab did. We have to understand that. Is it biology or is it social conditioning? What is it? What constitutes attractiveness in today's world? You know, and we can't not argue that it has a lot to do with the appearance of youthfulness and fertility and how they go together. Now understand, I said the appearance. I didn't say actual youthfulness or fertility. I said the appearance of it. Not the making up of appearance and youthfulness, but the actual youthfulness and fertility. But it's the appearance of it. The appearance of it. Now, naturally, a woman who takes good care of herself and is genetically blessed with good skin and metabolism can have a certain look for a really good time to attract the males. You know, and that's natural beauty. You know, but we can't ignore the hallmarks of good health. And good and looking good or attractive, and the connection between them. And this is what the makeup industry is trying to mimic. They're trying to enhance that fertility time that's going to attract the opposite sex to a mating call that's given in the mating signaling, the sign that says, I'm available. And the immodest way women dress today, the immodest way they make up their hair, and the immodest way they dress, and the immodest way they paint their face and so on, is just making this sign louder and louder. Louder and louder. Now, it's not about that women are applying makeup. They're not of what they're truly saying. You know, the sign says, or the idea says, I'm ovulating. I want to have sex. That's a whole different matter. A woman might not be doing it for those reasons. But that's what the sign says. Even though our idea of attractance has a lot to do with the appearance of sexual arousal, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what a woman's true intent is. So, ladies, in no way I am saying, by you wearing these things and acting in this way, for all of you, does it mean that this is your desire? Your desire might not be go out there to have sex with men and to procreate on this particular day and this particular time. But I'm letting you know your sign says something different. Your sign says something different. You might, for many other reasons, put on this sign or put on this makeup. Maybe you just want to feel good about yourself. Maybe you're conforming to what you think makes you presentable in this world. Maybe you just enjoy painting your face. And it just happens to be pretty convenient canvas, which is your face, and you like painting. Maybe you like the artness of it or the creativity of it. Maybe you're just thinking, I just want to look nice. I'm not looking for sex or looking for a mating call. I just want to look nice. So for some of you ladies, I understand it's more about self-esteem than it is about the effect on men. I get it. However, we must truly understand that there are some women out there that truly know this, and their desire is to bring down men, and Satan rules this world, and they fully understand the effects of makeup and how it attracts men and how it makes them look more fertile and ready. And I warned you now, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a lion, roaring, a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Advertise, appeal to these type of women. They even name some of their makeup products after these things. How much clearer can it be? There's makeup out there today called Climax Mascara, or Orgasm Blush, or Deep Throat Blush, or Orgasm Afterflow Lip Balm. We have to understand, whether your makeup products are called these things or not. That is the idea of them. That is why they are made. The bottom line is, either way, for whatever reason, you're wanting to wear makeup. And this is the most imperative thing I'm going to say here. And I want you all to understand this, and please pray about this and think about this. Ladies, your motive does not cancel out your appearance. You may have the purest motives out there, but your appearance says different. When you're wearing makeup, when you're wearing immodest clothes, when you're fixing your hair in certain ways, when you're wearing high heels, your appearance is different. Some of you might have an unholy motive, but for those of you that have a motive of pureness, that doesn't matter. Your appearance says something different. And we ask yourselves, what are your motives? That's what you need to ask yourselves. Why do you ultimately wear these things? You may think it's pure, but regardless, it is still tempting others into lustful, sinful acts. Yahweh designed men and women a certain way. And Yahweh designed women, whether it's their motive or not, or they think it's their motive or not, to be with a man. Single women don't want to be single. Now, in today's world with feminism and everything else, that's kind of changing and people are getting away from Yahweh's plan. But in Yahweh's world, in Yahweh's plan, single women find a man, they have children, they have a family, and that's the way Yahweh designed it to be. And the women intentively know that, and they find ways to attract men. But the Bible is clear and tells us the ways that we should attract the right men. But Satan also tells this world how to attract men and how to deceive men. And it's a great example in Balaam and Balak, where they tripped up the men of Israel by the seductive women of Moab. And this is what's happening today. You understand this in the Bible times and scriptural times and the way our Creator wanted it to be. It was the father who chose the husband for the daughter. The father chose the husband for the daughter. In today's time, women are the ones who do it. In their seductive, deceiving ways, if they know it or not, they're the ones that go out and get the man, leaving their father completely out of it. And their father's not following scriptural ways many times today in today's world. Anyway, but they're leaving the order that Yahweh put it. And women are taking it upon themselves, using these seductive products, high heels and immodest dress and makeup and fixing your hair in fancy ways to attract or induce or entice or seduce men. And this is a big problem. It's a big problem. Understand, the first people that painted their face in history were the Indians, or the Native Americans. They were the first people that painted their face using it as war paint. And I will tell you, there's a war going on there today. And today, women are at war with each other to get the best man available. And this is what's happening today. And oh, they're putting on the war paint, all right. And Paul reminds women in 1 Peter 3 to be very modest. Very modest. A motive should be not to draw attention to ourselves. We should be very careful not to be motivated by haughtiness. But that's not what happened today. Women are trying to draw a lot of attention to themselves. 1 Peter 3, 1-7 says, "In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if someone refused to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure, reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to Yahweh. This is how the holy women of Yahweh of the old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in Yahweh and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do." And we understand this and we see this, and whether if you're married and it's your husband or if you're not married, it's your father's. 1 Timothy 2, 9-10 says, "I also want women to dress modestly with decency and properly adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship Yahweh." You understand, ladies, Yahweh is more concerned with your inner beauty. He wants you to know how beautiful you are in the wonderful Messiah Yeshua, and a beautiful daughter of Yahweh you are. We must remember where our true identity lies, and our worth is found in Yeshua. When people forget that, when ladies forget that, they stop believing in the lies of the world. "I don't look good enough. I'm ugly without makeup. I can't go out there without painting my face." No, ladies, you are beautiful. Yahweh made a beautiful creation in you. You're naturally beautiful. Stop struggling with the self-esteem of Satan's world. If you struggle with going outside without painting your face, you have been caught into this trap. And you must let go of it. If you're listening to this right now and you're trying to defend wearing makeup, and you don't see anything wrong with it, please listen to these words that I'm telling you here. Stop speaking negatively to yourself. You don't need it. Thank you for listening. Please join us tomorrow for part 2 of this lecture. Have a great day and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministries. Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.